It's us.
That one sends a chill down my spine and makes me think about my brief conversation with the fake Wilbur. Maybe that builder, or whatever it was, did see us as more of a threat to it than it was to us. Judging by my encounter with King Braxis thus far, I can totally understand why. I rack my brain for a solution. There has to be something we can offer him to not throw us in that Colosseum. And then something clicks. You're absolutely right, I say, summoning as much sincerity as I can muster. We are dangerous. And we can do things your guards and NPCs can't. What you can't do either. This gets a puzzled look from him. I'm on to something. Lady Diana mentioned the problem you're having to the north. A power seized by the giants that needs to be put down. They weren't able to do anything about it, but we can. And you know it. Your barter increases by 0.7. Skill up. Your barter skill is now 5. He stares at me, running a finger along his bottom lip. Go on. Val Helena.
Rhys, what are you doing?
Me.
Trying to save us.
Geez, I hope I'm right about this.
If we agree to go out there and eliminate this threat for you, will you let us go?
I look at Iko.
And I mean everyone, including her.
I can see him hesitating. I need to grease the wheels some more.
You realize that this is the only way you can remove that quest on your head, right? Without that power, things will go back to normal. The elves and giants will drop their vendetta against you. No more quest. No more problem.
I'm totally making this up, but it sounds pretty good.
Your barter increases by 0.7. Skill up. Your barter skill is now 6.
Okay. Say I go along with this, Braxis says, clasping his fingers together. There's no guarantee that you all won't just run away to this maze or wherever you're headed. So if I'm to agree to any of this, I'm going to need some form of collateral.
Crap.
And seeing as these three chicks here are the main beneficiaries of that quest, it only makes sense that they all stay here with me, where I can keep an eye on them.
Val Helena glances at me from across the table, and then sends me a message.
Val Helena.
Please don't trust this guy.
Gah, I think I just made things worse.
Not the little one, Rembrandt says. She's our healer, mate. We need her.
Good old Rem. Looking out for Gilly, and using good reasoning, too.
Braxis shrugs.
Not my problem. She stays with me.
Darn it. I send another desperate message to Val Helena.
Me.
I'm sorry, Val. I didn't mean for it to go this way. Now what are we going to do? The idea of leaving half our party here feels even worse than the Colosseum.
And if you fail the quest or decide to abandon it, well...
Braxis chuckles, looking over at Gilly. They all look like they could make suitable additions to my harem, so they won't go to waste.
What did he just say?
My stomach boils with anger and disgust as he grins like an idiot. I feel like jumping over the table and creaming this dirtbag.
Don't you even think about touching them. My brother beats me to it. Deal or no deal. You'll be paying for that one personally if you do.
Hey, don't hate the playa, playa.
Braxis raises his hands, all innocence and slime again.
If you don't want that to happen, then you know what you got to do.
Gilly.
Rhys?
Me. Don't worry, Gilly. I won't let anything bad happen to you. Somehow.
Braxis then shares a quest with me.
Braxis has shared a quest. Defeat Jotun. Travel to the mountains and defeat the frost giant Jotun.
Rewards. 120,000 XP, plus 500 influence in northern territories.
Wow. He actually did have a quest for it? I was only bluffing.
I guess this all worked out in the end.
Braxis gives me a grin.
And now that that's settled, I guess we can go back to enjoying our dinner.
We all glance at one another.
Is he for real?
Braxis starts chomping away at his lobster claws again, and we just look at him like he's crazy. He looks up.
Come on! Eat!
When none of us move, he says again with more force.
I said, eat.
Suddenly my hunger gets the best of me. What the heck have I done? And I continue my meal. Chapter 23. Surf and Turf.
Ire builds within me as I choke down the cold lobster against my will. Braxis is still trying to carry on a conversation like nothing is wrong. Every bone in my body wants to tear these stupid clothes off and go to town on that jerk with my fists. I look at Iko, giggling away in his lap, and my soul comes undone when I imagine Gilly taking her place the minute we're out the door. I can't let that happen. I can't leave this room without her. I can't leave her with this monster. I honestly thought for a second that maybe Braxis could be reasoned with, but there's no way we can trust this guy now. Not with what he's said and done. The most I've accomplished with this deal is buying us a little time, and maybe giving him the impression that we'll be true to our word. And that may just give us a slight element of surprise. But what can we do with it? Both Braxis and Xavier have those emerald rings. One word and we'll be frozen in place or turned into puppets instantly. And once that happens, it'll be game over. We've only got one shot at this, whatever we do. I smile at another one of Braxis's stupid jokes that I didn't quite hear. I've got to keep up the charade, but my mind is thrashing within my body like a caged animal. I've never felt so powerless before. I've got to do something. I try to dissolve the stupid green outfit, sending it to my inventory, but an error message appears. That item is cursed and cannot be removed. Guess he wasn't bluffing about that part. How the heck do these things have effects on them anyway? I don't recall seeing any. I check each one again to see if I missed something. Royal Emerald Tunic. Only the finest silk was used to make this garment fit for royalty. Royal Emerald Slacks. Only the finest silk was used to make this garment fit for royalty. Royal Emerald Slippers. Only the finest leather was used to make this garment fit for royalty.
Nope. I suppose the effects could be hidden, but I don't know nearly enough about spell mechanics to figure out a way to make them appear. Not that it matters at the moment anyway. I've got to try something else. I look around at my friends. Gilly looks terrified. Maxis and Val Helena are seething, but Rembrandt hides his emotions behind a mirror-shaded poker face. He's probably got the right idea. Don't let Braxis know what we're thinking. Although, in truth, we're not thinking anything. We'd need to communicate for that. That gives me an idea. Party chat is silent, like talking inside each other's heads. But could we all pull off Rembrandt's poker face in front of a hostile audience? I've got to try. One by one, I start forming a party and pray that the clothes won't detect something like that. When I see their names appear on my HUD, I open a party chat to speak internally and pray they don't let on when they do the same. Guys, we need to make a break for it, I say in party chat.
Thank bloody hell someone said it.
How?
Gilly says.
I don't care how, Maxis says. One way or the other, I'm slamming that dude.
Watch your facial expressions, Val Helena says as she gives Braxis a pleasant smile.
They'll figure out we're communicating.
That encourages me to pay more attention to what Braxis is saying. He's going on about how crappy life had been for him back in Citadel. Apparently he grew up on the streets or something when his family was evicted from their hab when he was 10.
I didn't let that slow me down, though, he says with a mouthful of lobster. One thing I got is smarts. And I outsmarted all of them. Who's beating up who now, huh?
He lets out a caustic laugh.
Man, I wish they could see me now. That's my only regret.
His countenance sours, becoming dark, like bad memories are flashing behind his eyes. That I can't rub their stupid faces in it.
Whoa.
I've got no idea who he's talking about, but I nod like he's saying the most profound thing in the world. Braxis moves on to how he conquered the game world and got his ticket out of Citadel. He skips over how he actually took over Stormwall and jumps right into his future plans for expanding into the northern mountains once the giants are removed. That gives me hope. He's actually thinking we'll follow through with the deal. That'll give us an advantage. I glance at Diana and the two knights next. They're still standing faithfully at attention. Diana catches me looking at her, and when our eyes meet, I see them soften, the same way they did when we shook hands. I guess she knew what was going to happen to us. But she doesn't look like she feels good about it. I'm going to risk it. I sent Diana a PM. Me. Will you help us? Her eyes go into that cop squint, and I fear I just made a huge mistake. I don't know how AIs work or think. Do the game rules force her to be totally loyal to Braxis no matter what? And are they all connected somehow? Did Xavier just see that message too? Crap. I should have thought about that some more. This situation is making me desperate. Suddenly, I get a PM back. Lady Diana. I'm sorry. I cannot help you. Yeesh. I'm not sure if I just made our chances worse or not, but I guess we truly are on our own. I think those emerald rings are the control devices, I say in the chat. Both Xavier and Braxis have one. Are you sure? Maxis asks. No, but he seemed to show it off a bit when he was gloating. It's a gamble, Rembrandt says, but I noticed that too. So how do we get them off their hands without being charmed? Gilly asks. I can probably get to Xavier with a charge strike, I say. That will stun him. And I can grab Braxis from here, Valhelena says. But we'll need a way to distract them for a second. I have an idea, Gilly says, but it might be a crazy one. What are you going to do? I ask. I'm not going to do anything, she says, glancing at me. You are. Huh? Then, aloud, Gilly suddenly says, Hey, Reese, why don't you play us a tune on your horn? Holy cow. She can't be suggesting what I think she is. I respond to her aloud as well. What? Come on, she says cajolingly. You play so well. I'm sure we'd all like to hear. Especially the king. Right, guys? I get mixed signals from around the table. Yeah, go on, Reese, Max says. Play us a tune. I'm not sure about that, mate. That thing's awfully bloody loud to be playing in such a confined area, yeah? Rembrandt's encrypted warning comes through loud and clear. What the heck would a stampede look like inside a place like this? This could be suicide. Braxis has a bemused look on his face. Okay, now I'm really curious. Can you play or not? I'd hate to embarrass myself, I say laughingly. Oh, go on, Reese, Valhelena says with a smile, but in her eyes I see steely conviction. She's committed to the plan, no matter what. And while we're still young, eh? I put on my best, reluctant sigh, but inside my guts are trembling with anxiety. Okay, but you guys asked for it. Let me get it from my inventory. I materialize it in my hand, and the trio of knights jump forward apprehensively. Easy, I say, showing it to them. Just an instrument. Thankfully, it's quite small. The gnarly horn twists like a curly W and fits like a bugle in my hand. My teammates slowly back away in anticipation, and my heart starts to pound. I've got no idea what this thing does besides the description. Lakota's horn, rare, untradeable. Summons, great herd stampede. Uses, once per day. Lakota draws strength from her herd and is never far from reaching them. This could be crazy stupid, but I'm center stage now and I've got no way to back out. How do you even aim this thing? I stand and press the horn to my lips. My teammates tense. Get ready to run to the sides, you guys. I say in party chat. I blow on the mouthpiece and a low, awful-sounding note emerges. But nothing else happens. Oh, crap. Braxis lets out a bemused scoff. Was that it? Just warming up, I say. Come on, work, you stupid thing. I blow again, harder this time. The note sounds again, but this time it's accompanied by a glowing of the horn. Reese uses Lakota's horn. Reese has summoned Great Stampede. The ground trembles. This is it. My heart jumps with anxiety when I think about what's to occur. I wanted a distraction, but I'm not trying to get anyone killed, especially not Diana or Iko. I've got to warn them. Everyone move! A split second later, the door and wall explode behind us in a shower of brick and mortar as a herd of 8-foot-tall buffalo come charging into the room. Deep bellows and the thunder of hooves fill the air with a tremendous din. I barely have time to grab a hold of Gilly and fling us both against the wall as the freight train of hulking animals crashes into the dining table. The thing gets flung into the air, and Braxis, stuck at its head, screams like a child. Iko, alerted by my call, transforms from plaything to deadly assassin once again, her violet eyes sharpening. In one fluid motion, she slides off Braxis's lap, grabbing him in the process. The stampede swarms over the top of them, and I lose sight of the pair in the wave of charging buffalo.
No! Iko!
The animals go crashing through the picture windows at the back of the room, taking out the entire wall in the process, and plummet over the 2-story drop to the palace grounds below. I'm not sure if these buffalo are alive or not, but the wailing cries they make upon impact is horrendous. The surge of bleeding animals continues for a few more seconds, the noise scrambling my brain. I press into Gilly, forcing us against the wall, and cry out as a stray horn scrapes across my back. You take -114 damage. Then, in an instant, the river of buffalo comes to an end as the last few disappear over the edge of the room, falling to the ground below. My ears are still ringing, and I feel dizzy. The room looks like a tornado hit it. Only splinters, broken glass, and lobster shells remain of the once sumptuous banquet. I immediately check the HP bars on the party list, and my heart jumps when I see Maxis and Val Helena in the red. Less than 15%. Holy crap, they nearly died. Rembrandt is still in the green, tucked away in the far corner behind me. I look for the fat dude, Xavier, next. I almost expect him to be a smear on the floor, but instead, I see he somehow managed to press himself against the leeward side of a decorative pillar built into the wall. Our eyes meet. I prepare to rush him with a charge strike, but he raises his hand and yells, "Stop!" I freeze mid-step.
No!
It feels like I'm back in my hab again, in need of Mutt and Jeff.
So close!
To my right, I catch a glimpse of Rembrandt. Amazingly, he covered nearly half the room in an effort to reach Xavier before the fat man put on the brakes. Groans come from both Val Helena and Maxis as they vainly try to peel themselves off the floor.
You miserable wretches!
Xavier says, stepping from his hidey hole, confident now that his safeguards are in place.
You come into our world and do nothing but destroy. Would that the goddess be done with your kind for good!
Lord Xavier, I hear Lady Diana say from somewhere to my left. I'll see to these oathbreakers. When she comes into view, her cop eyes narrow at me again. She turns her head to her 2 subordinates, both of whom are at half health.
Siegfried, Thomas, get to the grounds below and search for the king. I sense his life force still, but it is weak.
I don't know whether to feel relieved or chagrined by the news. Part of me would like nothing more than to be done with King Braxis for good, but as much as he disgusts me, I'm not sure if I could handle the death of another human being on my conscience. Thomas and Siegfried heed their commander's words and stumble past me, out the huge opening where the door once stood. I vaguely wonder if those buffalo were actually real ones teleported here, or if they were just some form of illusion. Although, looking at the destruction caused by the stampede, illusion is perhaps the wrong word. Special effect is more like it. Diana says to Xavier,
What do you wish to be done with them, my lord? Take them to the garrison. I suggest immediate execution for the lot.
He eyes us with venom. After this, I have no doubt the king will heed my recommendation and will not bother with those silly Colosseum games. Shard warriors are dangerous. My heart lurches into my throat.
I'll round them up. Diana says as she approaches Val Helena. Could you make them stand, Lord Xavier?
Yes, of course,
he says, and then more authoritatively,
Stand up!
More groans come from Val and my brother as they struggle to their feet. Diana turns toward Xavier, and her eyes go wide as she draws her sword.
Lord Xavier, behind you!
Iko? Xavier turns to look, as do I, half expecting to see Iko already sinking her katana into his back. Instead, I see no one. Diana releases a cry as she brings the flat of her blade down on top of Xavier's soup bowl haircut. Lady Diana uses subduing blow. Lord Xavier is now asleep. The fat man releases a wail and falls to the ground, face first in a pile of lobster tails.
Thank you.
Diana expeditiously stoops to the ground and removes the emerald ring from his hand. She then crushes it under her heel. The gem cracks like a piece of candy, releasing a green mist into the air. I feel my body return to me and let out a breath of relief. A wave of white light washes over all of us as Gilly hits us with a mass healing spell. Maxis and Valhelena are quickly topped up to full.
Lady Diana, I say, thank you so much. Don't thank me yet, she says. I'd remove those garments while you can.
To my relief, I can finally pull them off, but have nothing to replace them with. Gilly flash changes into her new white witch's outfit I'd gotten her. Rembrandt has his normal clothes back on in an instant, as does Valhelena. It appears that only my brother and I were stupid enough to send our stuff out to wash.
Do you know where our clothes are?
Probably back in your rooms by now. Depending on his mood, the king was entertaining the idea of releasing you. I, however, was not surprised by the outcome. But please, listen to me now. We all go quiet. I've taken a very great risk in helping you, and I am not doing so without a purpose. She looks straight at me. I sense you have the ability to lead a township, and you have a kind heart. I ask that you free us from the grips of this madman.
What?
Although you're an oathbreaker, I do not fault you for breaking your last one. Will you swear one to me instead? Lady Diana has offered you a new quest. Liberate Stormwall. Depose King Braxis by forcing him to relinquish his control of Stormwall. Do you accept the quest? Y. N.
I hesitate. I don't know if I can.
Please, she says. It need not be tonight. But please do not forget this act of kindness. Unfortunately for us, we need no emerald garments to become slaves.
Darn. I never really thought of it like that. I'm not even sure how or if I can pull it off, but I owe her.
You have my word, Lady Diana. You have accepted the quest. Liberate Stormwall.
Thank you, she says.
Now you must hurry to the south gate if you wish to escape. After word of this spreads, there will be men sent to close it.
But we need to head north, Valhelena says.
The north gate is already sealed by order of the king, to guard against the giants.
Maxis lets loose a curse.
Then this whole thing was a waste of time? Was he never going to let us through?
Not unless he got what he wanted.
My brother turns bright red, and I see his neck pulse in a swallow. I expect him to curse again, but instead, there's an unsteady look in his eyes. Uncertainty. It seems almost alien on his face, but I see regret or guilt even.
I shouldn't have egged us on to come here. We should have gone around.
Valhelena rests her large hand soothingly on the nape of his neck.
Don't worry about that now. Let's just get out of here.
I'm sorry, Diana says, but I have one more request.
What's that? I say.
Strike me.
What?
One of you must injure me. I can't be found to have aided you.
I look to my brother and Rembrandt.
Maxis scoffs.
I can't hit a woman, man. Same here, mate.
We all look up at Valhelena.
Diana grimaces.
I suppose it would have to be you.
I'm prepared.
Valhelena sighs.
You have my deepest respect, Lady Diana. I'll see to it that our promise to you is kept.
Valhelena slugs Diana with her massive bare fist and removes a tenth of her HP bar. Her head goes flying back, and she hits the floor with a bloodied nose. Unconscious. I race ahead down the corridors in nothing but my underwear, my two dark steel kunai in my hands. My heart rate is thumping, and I can almost feel the swarms of armed guards about to descend upon us at any moment. We find our rooms, and Maxis and I nearly break down the doors trying to get inside. To my relief, I find my gear neatly folded on my bed.
Thank you, old lady.
Okay, we need to go, Maxis says once we're suited up. We're about to head off, but I stop and freeze in place.
What about Iko?
Everyone stops then.
I couldn't see what happened to her, I say. But if Braxis survived that fall, surely she did as well.
We don't have time to look for her, Maxis says. Besides, she's the reason we're in this mess. She triggered that dude by attacking him.
Valhelena looks torn. She releases a grunt of frustration as she musses up her hair with both hands.
Gah! I don't know what to think or do when it comes to her.
It's okay, Val, I say. I'll go find Iko.
Gilly looks at me with wide, fearful eyes.
Rhys! No!
It's all right, Gilly. Iko and I can still get out of here even with the gate closed. We're ninjas, remember? I crack a grin, but she looks too worried to laugh. I just need to find her. Hopefully before Siegfried and Thomas do. I'll be quick. Valhelena takes my hand.
Thank you, Rhys. I hope you know what you're doing, Ninja Man.
Gilly leans in to hug me, and I kiss her on the forehead.
Hey, Maxis says. Don't screw around in here. If you run into a jam, just get out. We can always come back for her.
Okay, where do we meet up? I ask.
Our only option to reach the Vale now is west, Rembrandt says. Around the mountains and through the wild.
My stomach drops through the floor as I recall Rembrandt tracing that path on the map.
The wild?
We can worry about how we deal with that later, Valhelena says. Right now we just need to get going, and you need to hurry and meet back up with us.
Rembrandt claps me on the shoulder.
We'll head west and wait for you at the barrier, if we don't meet up with you before then.
Be safe, Rhys, Valhelena says as she hugs me.
Gilly hugs me again as well, then whispers tearfully in my ear.
I love you.
My heart jumps again, but with a different emotion this time. Something warm and pure. I could feel the love growing between Gilly and I, but this is the first time either of us has said it out loud.
I love you too,
I say, and feel tears building in my eyes. I fight them back with a laugh.
Jeez, you guys, it's not my funeral yet.
That gives us all a nerve-breaking laugh.
You guys get going. I say as I cast Shadow Wall and make us all vanish from sight. Iko and I will be with you before you know it.
Chapter 24. Judge and Jury. Under the cover of invisibility, the whole situation becomes less tense, and I find I'm able to think a little easier. I pray the rest of the guys make it to the gate before my spell wears off. Even now I can hear the call of voices in the night, the hurried footsteps of guards running to and fro. I need to move fast before Xavier wakes up to find his ring broken and all heck breaks loose. I leave the palace through the front entrance and use sneak to get past the four guards posted on duty there. As I creep by them, I catch their conversation. They're questioning why they were summoned to replace the normal guard detail on duty. I'm thinking Siegfried and Thomas must have grabbed the original guards while making their way outside to check on Braxis and called these guys in as backup. That means I'll have to be prepared to find more than just the two knights when I get to where Braxis and Iko are, which I presume is right below where they went flying out the window earlier. I reach the well-manicured lawn of the palace and look up at the building to orientate myself. I stop behind a fir tree to refresh Shadow Cloak, and then edge around the side of the stone walls until I reach the rear of the palace, where I estimate the dining room to be. Soon I hear voices and see a huge crater in the ground. I suspect that's where the buffalo must have impacted the ground and then disappeared. I was half expecting to find a mound of dead buffalo corpses, and am thankful to be spared such a gruesome sight. Guess they were some kind of special effect after all. I spot King Braxis right away, seated on a dining room chair that somehow survived the carnage. He's at the far edge of the 30-foot-wide crater opposite me. Blood stains his forehead, and he's holding his right arm by the elbow. Surrounding him are four guards, in addition to Siegfried and Thomas, and right beside him is Iko. She looks none the worse for wear, and her HP bar is around 80%, where Braxis is sitting on less than a third. She still has the emerald and gold dress on, though, and Braxis still has his ring. I almost wish I could have used the one Xavier was wearing to just command Iko to flee with me. This is going to be a little bit harder to pull off. Somehow I have to get the ring off Braxis' hand and destroy it. A full-on attack is out of the question.
The guards plus knights would be way too many to take on at once, and honestly, I don't really want to fight them. I need to handle this one with finesse. As I creep toward Braxis, I hear sobbing and notice that he's not just holding his arm, he's crying as well. His mewling gets louder as I circle around the guards and approach him from behind. I suspect his arm must be broken, and by the way his right leg keeps bouncing up and down, he must be in a ton of pain.
Where are the healers?
He shouts at the guards savagely.
Where are they?
They've been sent for, my lord, Siegfried says nervously.
They shall be here soon. Useless puppets! You're all useless!
His screams of rage turn quickly to cries of agony as he winces and cradles his arm. He turns to Iko with a venomous glare.
Even you!
He kicks her in the legs, making them buckle, and Iko falls to the ground. My stomach tightens, but I resist the urge to reach out to help her. I can't make my move yet.
Worthless!
Braxis curses at her.
Couldn't even save me properly! Next time I'll know better than to try to keep humans as pets.
He rocks back and forth with the pain and starts weeping again.
Damn it! All I wanted was a real person to like me for once! To like me for me! And all I get is more puppets and backstabbers!
His shoulders shake with a reverberating sob.
Why do people hate me so much? It's just like back home!
I'm not sure what he's talking about. Maybe that same stuff he was talking about at dinner. It's kind of pathetic and disturbing to watch, but it makes me feel a little sorry for him, too. I look at Iko, sitting there on the ground, smiling up at Braxis like he's some god. I'm sure if our positions were reversed, Iko would have no problem removing the rest of his HP with a clean backstab. A small part of me wishes I could do the same, but the thought of actually doing something like that turns my stomach. Plus, looking at him, Braxis is a kid, just like me. As despicable as I find him, I couldn't imagine killing another human being, let alone a kid. Even if it would mean an easy fix to both saving Iko and helping Diana. That thought gives me pause, and I consider it for a half second more. But no. I'm not a murderer. There's got to be a way to make this happen without resorting to something like that. As hard as it may be, I've got to find it. I get closer and focus on the ring again. If I can get it off him, get him in a chokehold maybe, I'm sure I could force him to relinquish his throne. The ring's on the hand of his injured arm, the one he's holding upright. It wouldn't take too much to grab it, if I'm quick enough. Assuming I can pull it off his finger without a problem, of course. That thought causes more anxiety to build. I sneak up next to Braxis, my heart thundering in my ears so loudly I fear he might hear it. I reach out slowly with my invisible hand, about to grab his arm and pull the ring off his finger, when Iko's eyes suddenly flash in my direction. Oh, crap. She leaps to her feet and blows a puff of purple smoke in my direction.
Iko uses Shadow Mist. You are poisoned. You are slowed. You are paralyzed.
No!
Braxis cries out in alarm, but he's caught in the mist as well. I use Retreat, phasing into existence as I perform a backflip and narrowly avoid the charge strike that comes from Iko. I take the advantage of the scant few seconds it takes her to remove her heel from the ground and buff myself with Shadow Haste, canceling out the slow effect. But the poison still remains, and I feel its subtle sting as a hit point disappears.
You!
Braxis shouts, still unable to move, as are Siegfried and Thomas, who were also caught in the mist. His eyes flash to Iko.
Kill him!
Guess he doesn't have the same qualms I do. Iko's vacant eyes take on a predatory glare as twin kunai blades materialize in her hands. My heart leaps into my throat as my stomach falls through the floor. Holy crap. I'm about to PvP for the first time in the real world. Against Iko. And my name ain't Maxis. Chapter 25. Shinobi Showdown. I raise my blades to defend myself as Iko swoops in like an angel of death. She slashes wildly with her kunai, and I pop active dodge from pure fright. My body shifts in a puff of nanodust as her blades slice the air where I stood a millisecond ago. I feel totally unprepared for this fight, and the fear-tinged adrenaline coursing through my veins only reminds me further of that fact.
How the heck can I beat Iko? I back away from her, gaining some distance. Her lifeless eyes are like a shark's, filled only with hate as she closes in on me and prepares to attack again. Wake up, Rhys! I yell at myself. React! I snap to my senses and focus on survival. I may be lower level, but I at least have my gear. She doesn't. At high levels, gear can account for a large majority of stats, although I'm certain for someone like Iko, she must easily have 99s and 3 or more stats even without the added bonuses. I bob and weave on the balls of my feet as her blades come lightning fast. I manage to avoid them, just barely, but the mental stress of predicting and keeping track of her strikes has my neck straining so bad it feels like my head's about to pop off. I slash back at her in kind, but she easily dodges my attacks. To the knights watching us, it must be a spectacular show. 2 high-level ninjas going all out. But for me, it's a battle of nerves and attrition that I'm ultimately bound to lose in the end. Iko has senseless mind control on her side. She's not thinking, only reacting, and probably from muscle memory. I, on the other hand, am bound to slip up at some point. I need to debuff her, slow her down to buy me more time to think between each slash. I launch at her with a charge strike. I bounce into her with the stunning attack, and she immediately performs a retreat to remove the stun effect. It was exactly the move I was counting on. I'm using her muscle memory against her now, predicting her actions by setting up a chess move in advance. I use her moment of retreat to cast Shadow Mist and engulf her with my own purple cloud of ninja magic. You cast Shadow Mist. Iko is slowed. Iko resists the poison. Iko resists the paralyze. Darn, only 1 out of 3. But at least the debuff I needed the most landed. My charge strike earlier did about 2% damage to Iko, and I'm happy it didn't do much more than that. I'm not trying to hurt her. Unfortunately, the feeling isn't mutual. How the heck is this going to end? Get him! All of you! Braxis screams, and the 4 guards, plus Siegfried and Thomas, all come charging at me. The reaction from Braxis seems incredibly delayed to me, but then I realize that Iko and I have been fighting for barely a few seconds, though it feels like an eternity to me already. My stamina is down to 70%, and my hit points are sitting at 90%. I lose a hit point every second or so as Iko's poison courses through my veins. I prepare myself as the mob of plate mail and steel comes rushing toward me, casting decoy shadow and shadow copy. That's at least 1 free hit, and 1 for half damage. And by the looks of the vitriol in their eyes, I'm going to need both. I back up to keep them from circling behind me. If that happens, it'll be over. I duck under sword swipes from the guards and narrowly avoid a stab from Sir Thomas's ornate blade. Then Iko joins the fray. Her attacks, while slowed, are equal to 3 of the knight's own. I lose my shadow and gasp as Iko's kunai cuts me in my side. Blood spills with a spark of pain. Arr! Iko hits you for 57, 112, damage. Decoy shadow kicks in and my body crumbles to nanodust as I turn invisible. I have a few seconds of reprieve as the knights and guards come to a halt, perplexed by my apparently quick demise. I can't survive another assault like that. A few more hits and I would have been overwhelmed. One thing's for sure, whatever I decide to do next will determine my fate forever.
He's still here! Siegfried shouts, slashing at the air with his sword. Surround him! Don't let him at our back!
Crap. The guards and knights push forward in a semicircle, hacking at the air. I'm backed toward the wall of the palace until I find myself trapped. Not good. I have nowhere to run. There are just too many of them, and Iko, even without her gear, is the strongest, most aggressive opponent I've ever fought. It gives me a whole new level of respect for my brother, for what he was able to do to her back in that PvP arena. But this is no arena match. My only hope is to get her on my side. I've retreated so far from Braxis now that he's at least 30 feet away from me, and standing between me and him is a wall of armor-plated guards. I check my timers for the abilities I have available. Active dodge is just about to come off of cooldown. It's my only hope, and I pray that it works. I've got to break through that line and get to Braxis. I can't kill him, but I can disarm him of that ring. I hope. I release a cry and charge into the slashing blades as I pop active dodge. My body blurs and shifts as it phases through the hits,
but a couple of them get through when the scant few seconds of invincibility wears off. The palace guard hits you for 104 damage. The palace guard hits you for 107 damage. Sir Siegfried hits you for 221 damage. I cry out in agony as I lose 30% of my HP. Another round like that and I'll be dead. I slam into the guards, but lack the strength and mass to break through. Hands quickly reach to snatch me now that I'm visible again. I made a small gap in the human wall, but it's far too tight for me to squeeze through now. And once they grab me, it'll be over. I do the only thing I can think to do next. Taking aim, I toss my weapon toward Braxis and pray my dexterity holds true. The kunai leaves my hand like an arrow and then spins like a fan blade. It strikes Braxis's hand and he shrieks as both his hand and the ring explode in a puff of green mist and blood. His HP drops into the red at 15% and screams of agony fill the air. You use weapon throw. Critical hit. You hit Braxis for 235 damage.
Argh!
He cries, staring horrified at the bloodied stump where his hand used to be.
My hand! My freaking hand!
His shrill cries are enough to make my flesh crawl, but I thank the heavens and my dexterity for having made the shot. The guards turn their attention away from me for a moment, looking toward their wounded king.
My lord!
Siegfried shouts and rushes back to aid him. I look to Iko. Her violet-tinted eyes refocus and slowly become her own once more. I'm not sure if she can remember anything from her time under the king's spell, but by the venom that soon fills her gaze, I'm sure she remembers enough.
Iko!
I cry and send her a quick party request.
We need to get out of here!
I'm thankful she has the presence of mind to accept the request, but a second later, she loses her composure completely. Releasing a banshee scream, Iko launches into Thomas and the four remaining guards. Her attacks are wild and unfocused, but they force the soldiers into defensive postures, making them cower under her rapid assault. I don't feel good about attacking these dudes, but it's do or die time now. I join Iko and face off against two of the guards, pulling them off her with a war cry.
Face me!
I yell. They turn from Iko and swing at me with their long swords, but with only two of them attacking, I'm easily able to avoid their hits. I slice back at the two guards with my remaining kunai, but with only one blade, I'm barely nicking down their HP, especially in their heavy armor. Iko, however, is still screaming like a madwoman. I'd always taken her subtle demeanor to be cool and collected, but today, it shattered with a fury. She's still dodging hits, but not nearly as much as she could. She appears to be taking damage just to finish them off quickly. One of them soon hits the ground. Iko defeats the palace guard. You gain 12,000 experience points. The XP feels dirty, but I can't think about that now. I sense something approaching from our flank. Your awareness increases by 0.3. Looking to my left, I see a platoon of soldiers marching onto the palace grounds about 100 yards away. We're out of time.
Iko, we need to run!
I shout to her.
No!
She cries, still slashing away.
Not until I kill that sick freak!
She whips both arms across her chest in an X pattern, and then throws them down to her sides with a flash of blue light, activating an ability I don't recognize. Iko uses perfect dodge. Evade all attacks with unlimited stamina and TP for the next 30 seconds. Holy crap. That must be her 24-hour ability. She flies into Sir Thomas without reservation, becoming a blur as he vainly tries to fend her off with his longsword. His health bar depletes like there's a hole in it, and when it hits 15%, Iko spins with a double slash, decapitating Thomas at the neck. Holy heck! Iko uses Assassinate. Iko successfully assassinates Sir Thomas. You defeated Sir Thomas. You gain 21,000 experience points. My stomach lurches as his headless body hits the ground. The sight must be equally shocking to his comrades, because they stop attacking me altogether. I use the distraction to search for Braxis, knowing that he will be Iko's next target. I spot him being hauled away by Siegfried in a fireman's carry, his limp body bouncing over the knight's large shoulder pauldrons, clearly unconscious, overcome by shock, perhaps. As the knight carries his master to safety, Iko catches sight of him and releases another cry of rage. She charges forward, but I sense something above us and glance up just in time to see a flash of white light.
Iko, wait!
Your awareness increases by 0.4. Skill up. Your awareness is now 41. I quickly cast Shadow Copy, but Iko is still charging ahead.
Iko!
A shower of crystal rods falls from the sky, impaling the ground in a circular pattern that encompasses me, Iko, and the three remaining guards. I lose my shadow as the rods puncture through me and the guards, killing them instantly in their already weakened states. A rod finds Iko too, and she cries out as the 8-foot-long piece of crystal punches through her shoulder and pins her to the ground, taking away half of her HP.
Iko!
I scan above to see what attacked us and spot the fat man, Xavier, standing on the edge of the half-destroyed dining room. His robes are aglow with a faint aura, as are his hands, which are still pointed, palm first, toward the ground now littered with crystal rods. I checked the log. Xavier casts Crystal Spear Shower. Xavier hits Iko for 336 damage. Iko is rooted. Xavier hits the palace guard for 336 damage. The palace guard is defeated. Xavier hits the palace guard for 336 damage. The palace guard is defeated. Xavier hits the palace guard for 336 damage. The palace guard is defeated.
Holy crap! Did he really just kill his own men to cast that?
We can't take another one of those. I look behind me and see the platoon closing in, moving at a run now. Ahead, I see Siegfried, still running with Braxis over his shoulder, but just in front of them is another platoon of soldiers and mages, ready to hem us in. I've got to get to Iko and get us both out of here, now. I run to her side and slash the crystal rod with my blade, freeing her.
Iko, we've got to go!
She glares at me with pure hate, and for a second I fear she might attack me again.
You stupid idiot! Why didn't you aim for his head?
Her glare shifts toward Braxis, still on Siegfried's shoulder, as he disappears into the ranks of the oncoming platoon. I sense another attack, and both Iko and I leap out of the way as a single rod lands right where we were standing. Xavier casts Crystal Spear. The fat man scowls at us from above, his hands ready to cast another spell. At least it wasn't the AoE attack this time. Maybe he's running low on TP, or maybe it's still on cooldown. Either way, I'm not sticking around to find out.
You can tell me off later,
I say to Iko as I cast Shadow Wall, making us vanish from sight.
Right now, we've got to get the heck out of this city.
I grab her wrist and drag her with me as I launch into a sprint. The slender elf stumbles after me for a moment before finally throwing off my hand to run under her own power.
This is not over,
Iko hisses as we dash between the two charging platoons and flee into the night.
You just made the worst enemy of your life.
Chapter 26. Escape from Stormwall. By the way Iko said it, I'm not sure if she was referring to herself or Braxis. Although, when it comes to her, I suppose there's a good chance she could mean both. We run together, still invisible, through the darkened streets of Stormwall, our footfalls barely making a whisper as we pat across the cobblestone pavement. All around us, the sounds of the alarm are being raised. Bells toll and guards yell, signaling the commoners to clear the streets and remain indoors. They're performing a sweep of the city, looking for us. I just hope the others made it out by now. I try sending a PM to Gilly and get an error message. That's good. It means she's out of range and hopefully well away from here by now. And we'll be soon to follow, I hope. We head in the direction of the southern wall, but then I notice Iko's blurred silhouette cut away toward the east.
Hey,
I yelled to her in party chat.
Where are you going?
To get something.
What?
Just shut up and follow me if you're coming, she says as she runs toward a 2-story building. She scales up its side with wall run.
If not, go run away like the limp noodle you are.
What did she just call me? I run after her and scale the building as well. When I land on the red-tiled roof, I find she's already moving ahead of me. My shadow wall spell has worn off now, and I can see she's running in nothing but her elven underwear. As annoying as she is, a half-naked Iko is definitely a sight to behold. I guess I'm tagging along whether I like it or not. I take off running after her,
my tabby boots nimbly navigating the creases and grooves in the tiles. From above, I see the streets filling with more soldiers. More chaos. Their torches light up the night, and I'm glad we decided to make the transition to the rooftops.
Hey, you could try to be a bit more appreciative, you know? I say when I finally catch up to her. I did come back to save you.
We reach the end of the roof and jump across the gap to the next building in tandem. The frigid air presses cold against my face as we sail through the night sky, and we both land with a roll on the opposite side. Aiko slides to a halt, standing. She then glares at me with her violet-tinted eyes.
You could have saved a whole lot more people if you would have just killed that guy.
Again with the killing?
Look, I'm not like you, okay? I'm not killing anyone. That guy's a real person.
Yes, a real terrible person who deserves to die. My stomach sours with anger and frustration. I don't want to think about what she's saying, probably because history might prove her right. But how was I supposed to do something like that? I even thought about it, and I couldn't.
You know, some people would say the same about you, Aiko.
It's a stupid, childish thing to say, but it's the only thing I can think of to deflect her comment at the moment. She responds with a harumph.
Well, you can try me any time, pretty boy. Oh, wait, you did already, and failed.
I brood inwardly at the dig. Val Helena was right. Aiko's a difficult person to like.
Maybe I shouldn't be so hard on you, though,
she says, softening a bit as she looks me up and down.
With that body of yours, I keep forgetting that you're still just a little kid.
What?
A little kid? Hey, I'm not a little kid.
Oh, yeah? How old are you then?
15? 16?
I'm 17.
Exactly.
What the heck does that mean?
It means that it's probably a good thing you weren't able to put that guy down. A kid your age shouldn't be into killing people.
Would be kind of messed up if you were. I'm not sure how I feel about that statement. Relieved a bit, I guess. But it makes me feel inadequate, nonetheless. Like me not being able to walk is okay because I'm a cripple. Although being able to kill another person is not something I wish to aspire to. I don't think. I've got to get off this topic.
How much do you even remember, Aiko?
I ask her, changing the subject. From when you were under that spell. Her eyes go vacant for a moment, perhaps reliving things she'd rather not.
Enough?
She looks toward the palace in the distance, a grimace tugging at her lips.
Thankfully, it's not all too clear, but it makes me sick to my stomach to think of what that creep did to me.
I can honestly empathize with her. It's the same way I felt about Gilly. I'm really sorry you went through that, I say, but I can't think of anything else to do to comfort her. Giving her a hug is out of the question. Even patting her on the shoulder would be like petting a shark to me.
I have half a mind to run back to that palace to take him out.
Her eyes fill with hatred.
But that'd be impossible now. He's probably healed back to full and surrounded himself with a battalion of troops. After tonight, he won't take his safety for granted ever again.
She looks at me then.
And after cutting off his hand, you shouldn't take yours for granted either.
Her words send ice coursing through my stomach. I hope it's not true. But something tells me it is.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Aiko shrugs.
Actions have consequences, good and bad. I just hope you don't live to regret yours.
What is this? Another dig?
What the heck does that mean? It means that sometimes it's safer to kill a snake on sight than to wait to see if it will bite you.
That was the same logic Braxis used when he decided to throw us in the Colosseum, a preemptive strike born of paranoia. I'm beginning to see a pattern here.
So, is that why you went and attacked him first? I ask, leveling my eyes at her.
What?
Braxis said you're the one who set him off from the get-go. He said all he was trying to do was help you, and then you went and attacked him to collect on that quest. Is that true?
She laughs her cocky cackle laugh.
Is that what he told you?
Lady Diana confirmed it. She said you attacked unprovoked. She scoffs.
I attacked him because I knew he was going to trap me with that stupid dress.
You knew it was cursed?
Not right away.
She folds her arms and shivers a bit. When he invited me to dinner, I thought he was just trying to woo me or something, but I figured I'd entertain the little troll. It was during dinner when I noticed the hidden effects. How? I couldn't see anything on my clothes. She laughs mockingly. They're not called hidden for nothing, pretty boy. You can adjust and hide descriptions, but not the true effects. Check your resistances. I do so, and the display registers on my HUD. Fire, 15. Ice, 15. Earth, 15. Wind, 15. Lightning, 15. Slashing, 20. Blunt, 10. Piercing, 5. Charm, 15. Poison, 10. Death, 10. Wow, I say. I didn't even see this stuff before. She laughs again. Such a cute noob you are. Anyway, I noticed my charm resistance was sitting at -300. And when I couldn't take the dress off, I figured out pretty quick what Braxis was planning to do. So I beat him to the punch. Or tried to. So you weren't just trying to collect on that quest? She scoffs again. Please, like I even want to be back here. You really think I have any interest in playing King of the Castle with that idiot? That brings me to an even more important question, one Valhelena will surely want the answer to as well. Why did you come back then? Did you come to help us? Iko glares at me. Come on, we need to get going. I'm freezing out here. Guess that one was in a no-fly zone. I let it rest for now. You still haven't said where we're going yet. To the garrison. What? I balk at her. Are you kidding? The whole army is looking for us and you want to head to their HQ? Best time to do so. No one will be there. What's there that's so darn important? My gear, for one. Plus something else I need. I do notice that she hasn't changed out of her lingerie yet. They took your gear, but not your weapons? These aren't my weapons, she says, pulling the blades into her hands. These are props. Stupid level 10 weapons they gave me to fight in the arena. Braxis made you fight in the arena? He was going to. Against you guys, I guess. Eesh. I'm glad that didn't happen. The fact that Iko was doing so much damage with a couple of level 10 weapons is scary. I wonder what her strength must be to do that. My real stuff is locked up in the garrison dungeon. Braxis forced me to remove it all when I was charmed. Yikes. I don't even want to think about that scenario, and what it might have led to. Then I remember something else. Well, if you need decent weapons, I suppose you can have these back. What? I initiate a trade with her. You offer to trade with Iko. You offer a poison kunai +5, +30 dexterity, +30 agility, +50 poison damage. A lightning kunai +5, +30 dexterity, +30 agility, +50 lightning damage. I shrug. I can't use them yet, so... Her eyes light up with recognition. How did you get these? We ran into Blacktop. He's the one who told us you were here. She chuckles. Old goat. Hope you didn't pay too much for them. Haven't paid at all, actually. I owe him a flamethrower for them, though. She laughs. We make the trade, and the new blades materialize in her palms. She studies them with a wicked grin. Oh, yes. These should help out nicely. She turns to me, licking her teeth. Come on, Rhys. Time to give you an education. Iko takes off again, and I hesitatingly run after her. An education in what? I'm not sure if I should be gung-ho about learning anything from her. We jump across a few more roofs and head in a somewhat easterly direction across the city. Below, I see the fallout of our escape starting to unfold. Guards kick down doors and pull people out of their homes. As we pass close to the bazaar, I recognize a woman being dragged across the street by two soldiers. It's the old woman from the magic's shop. She's yelling as they clutch her under the arms and lift her feet off the ground, but I can't make out what she's saying. The look on her face, however, is far easier to read. Pure terror. I swallow involuntarily as guilt rises in my belly. I'm beginning to understand now what Iko meant about actions having consequences, good and bad. We approach the garrison. The place looks somewhat deserted, just like Iko predicted. It's a walled-off area, like the barracks we saw earlier, but at the center of it is a two-story stone structure with narrow windows and only one visible means of entrance, a large gate with a portcullis.